Power Hour. It's the one. Power Hour. It's the who. Power Hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power Hour. It's the one. Power Hour. It's the who. Power Hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics. Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power. The one, power, power.
It's the who,
power, power.
Yeah, yeah.
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one,
power, power.
It's the who,
power, power.
Yeah, yeah.
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one,
power, power.
It's the who,
power, power.
Yeah, yeah.
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one,
power, power.
It's the who,
power, power.
Shalom, shalom, Most High in Christ bless. Welcome to another edition of the Power Hour here on Saturdays. I am Captain Amariah. Joining me today,
Officer Eleazar.
Soldier Caleb.
And again, this is the Power Hour. I'm holding it down this week while the other captains are doing other captainly duties, all right, on the Sabbath day, where we discuss Native, Latin, and Biblical topics according to the Bible. So we are going to get right into it. As you see the topic, it is Nothing New Under the Sun, Spiritual Wickedness in High Places. So now, I'm not going to make this a class about Esau, right? But we know that Esau is the devil the Bible speaks of. So he gives us much content to talk about. I'll say that, all right? So, again, the topic is Nothing New Under the Sun, Spiritual Wickedness in High Places. Give me Ecclesiastes 1, verse 4.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 1 and verse 4.
So now we have to set up what we're going to talk about, right? So follow me here, all right? This is the build-up before the bomb drops. So here it is. Read that.
One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh.
So it says one generation passeth away, and another one cometh. Read on.
But the earth abideth forever.
So I wanted to start here for two particular reasons. One, to show you that the earth is going to abide forever. That smashes that lie that Christianity taught. That smashes the lie, Eleazar, that you believed growing up, that the earth is going to be destroyed by some comet or meteor that hits.
Right.
Had a brother just recently on one of the Telegram groups posting something about an asteroid or meteor that's coming at this date, at this time. Does it line up with the Bible? Or whatever he was asking. Listen, the earth is going to abide forever. We have to get out of this whole thing that Esau has taught us, that the earth's going to be destroyed. Listen, the Bible says it lasts forever, okay? It's going to last. Now, there's going to need to be a refreshing of the earth,
right,
which is going to happen when Christ returns. And it's going to be refreshed with fire. That has to happen. But the earth abides forever. The second thing is, it says one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, right? You have one generation of people that come and one that go. Jump down to verse 9.
Verse 9. The thing that have been, it is that which shall be.
So the thing that has been aforetime is that which shall be. That's the generation that passes away and another one that cometh. It's not just the generation of the Israelites that recycle back into the earth, but it's also all the other nations of people, being Esau, who is the so-called white man, being Moab, who is the Chinese, Ishmael, who is the Arabs. Every single generation comes and every single generation goes. Read on.
And that which is done is that which shall be done.
Have you ever heard the saying, officer, to say history repeats itself?
Yes, sir.
Right. That's a real common thing that we all heard saying, right? History repeats itself. Well, why does history repeat itself? The Bible gives the answer. History repeats itself because it's the same spirits that get recycled back in the earth.
That's right.
Now, again, not making this into a regeneration class, but those that have an ear to understand, let them hear what's coming out of the Bible and let them know that God is letting us know very clearly it's the same generational spirits that come back over and over and over again. And the same things that Esau tried to accomplish aforetime is happening in these last days. It's just being done differently. They're evolving in their wickedness. right? Right. Kind of like how we're evolving now in our righteousness.
Yes, sir.
How we were born again and we woke up to this truth and we're putting off the old things and we're constantly evolving. How the scripture says to grow in grace, it's the same thing. We're evolving now in our righteousness, and Esau is putting things out there subtly, right? I almost said subtle. So there's no new thing under the sun. Read on.
And there is no new thing under the sun.
There's no new thing under the sun. We have to understand that we are, in fact, in the last days. When Christ was nailed to the cross, that ushered in the last days. So that should put a sense of urgency on every single last one of us to get it right. You know what I was just thinking about yesterday? Remember how we're talking about right now about willful sin and
right.
our temple? I was just thinking about this yesterday. It has nothing to do with that. But I need to do a class on this as well, too. Lord willing, life last. All right? I was thinking, we strive, right? We're striving to keep the commandments and everything else. And then you sin, right? Or you willfully sin. It's like you give into your lust and you willfully sin, right? Which none of us should be doing that. We all should flee from those things. I was thinking about it. And I was like, man, you got all these wicked of our people who are willfully wicked that either know they're Israel
mm-hmm.
or don't know they're Israel and won't repent.
Right.
And I'm like, here I am. It's been 9 years I've been the truth. In January, it'll be 9 full years. And I fall, right?
Right.
If I don't continue to fight in that righteousness and evolve in that righteousness and grow in grace, I'm going to get the same fire as that person that is just living their life in sin on purpose.
Mm, right.
It's like, damn. So it's like, so that should put a sense of urgency on all of us to repent and keep the laws and to flee that much harder from sin. To know, like, and if anything, I'm going to get a worse punishment than that person that's just in sin.
Right.
Because
right.
I know the truth. So I'm worthy of that more many stripes than that person that's just like, man, whatever. I ain't trying to hear what that Bible says. YOLO.
Right.
I'm going to get the same death as him, but worse.
Worse. Way worse. And it's crazy, like, what you were just saying. Like, when you fall, you strive to do better after you fall. Scripture says a just man falls 7 times. It doesn't say he fall 1 time and get complacent.
Right, absolutely.
So.
Right. That's why I always say that there's a difference between falling down and lying down.
Right.
Right? And if you willfully sin, then that's lying down.
Most definitely.
Right? But jump to chapter 6, verse 10. Stay in the same book. So let's establish what that has been and what shall be real quick.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 6 and verse 10. That which has been is named already.
So it's been named already. What we just discussed in chapter 1, verse 9, has already been named. The Lord's going to reveal what has been and what shall be. Read.
And it is known that it is man.
That it is known that it is man. Every single last one of us have been here many a times before. But the Lord keeps those things from us as far as our memory. You know how crazy you would go if you knew that you how many times you've lived? You'd be like, damn, I'm back here again? Are you kidding me?
Right. Mm. It's like playing Grand Theft Auto where you have an infinity life. You know what I mean? You're going to keep on doing the same thing.
Bro, you would go insane if you knew how many times you lived.
Right.
He keeps that from us. And there's for a reason for that, too. That way you don't get complacent in captivity.
Right.
That way you don't take your things for granted. That way you don't think that you got the golden ticket for the kingdom,
right?
If you knew you was Paul, right? Because, come on, let's face it. Paul's getting the kingdom, bro, right? Paul's, if you knew you was Abraham, because Abraham's getting the kingdom, right? People like that, we can say without any doubt in our mind that they are getting the kingdom for the work they did for the Lord,
right.
For the faith in, that they had in the Lord, right?
Right.
If you knew that you was Abraham or David or whoever, Moses, you'd be like, right? I'm good.
I'm good.
It's not meant to be like that. So that which have been is known that is man. It's the same people that regenerate over and over and over again. One of them is Esau. Give me chapter 4, verse 16. I'm building it up. I'm building it up to bring out the spiritual wickedness in high places that this man is using against us in these last days. It's nothing new under the sun. He's done the same tactic before, and even before it didn't work. So you think it's going to work this time? The same way it failed, there's nothing new under the sun, right? So his tactics, there's nothing under the sun. Him succeeding, there's nothing new under the sun. He's not going to succeed. Chapter 4, verse 16.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, and verse 16. There is no end of all the people.
It says of all the people. So the same way that the Israelites regenerate and come back is the same thing with all the other nations outside of Israel that the Most High created. So when he created the so-called white man, the Asian man, the East Indian man, the African man, they regenerate as well. It's the same spirits that come back over and over and over again. Right? This is just me thinking out loud, but Trump is, to me, is the manifestation of someone like Antiochus of Epiphanes back on earth today.
Thanks.
Pompous, right? Real pompous, real arrogant, mm-hmm. what I say goes type of thing, right? These people are back in the earth. We just don't know who they are. But you can tell that they're the same spirits, though. But it says, there is no end to all the people. So now one of the people that I'm going to focus on is Esau, because he's the one that has dominion here in these last days. He's the one that doesn't want to go from being the CEO to the janitor. Because if you had a fortune of infinite wealth, if you had all these amenities and liberties and everything afforded to you, you wouldn't want to give that up either. You would be fighting to stay in your rulership. The same way that all of us are trying to fight for our salvation is the same way that this man is trying to fight to stay on top and keep us at the bottom. From there, let's go to Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Let's get some characteristics and some attributes, because the same way that the Lord put the breath of life into us, he put a spirit within these nations too. But he built us all differently. He gave us the breath of life, which was the commandments. That was supposed to be our identity to keep us separate from everybody else. The laws are meant to distinguish us and keep us separate from the other nations.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that he didn't give them certain attributes and characteristics to follow too. And this man, all right, the so-called white man, Esau, he has distinguishing attributes and characteristics that he has in these last days for us to easily say, this is the devil the Bible speaks of. But our people have this affinity. No.
Right.
There's no way.
Not Timmy next door.
Not Timmy next door. No. There's no way that this man that he gives me foods.
Right.
He gives me sleeps. There's no way that this man could do these things,
right,
commit these atrocities. And he does it in plain sight, but now he does it differently. The worst thing that happened to us as a people was when those jokes came off.
That's it.
The worst thing that happened to us is when we became assimilated.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we don't know who the enemy is. At least back then, we knew who the enemy was.
Right.
It's the people that are lynching us. It's the people that are sicking dogs on us. Mm-hmm. Now, because of these little freedoms that we have, now it's like, nah, it's not him. Because look,
he gives us food stamps.
I was going to say, because we got Wilfredo.
Yeah.
I don't need a husband. I'm married to Wilfredo.
Right.
He takes care of me. Read that. Habakkuk 2, verse 4.
This is the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, and verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him.
That's what the Bible says. The heat talk is talking about Esau, the nation of Edom, who the world so ignorantly calls the white man. It says his soul was not what?
Upright in him.
It's not upright in him. So you can't take something that God made crooked and make it straight.
That's
how God created it to be. You can't force the course of the river. It's going to go as it moves, as the Most High will it. This man was made to be the sword that God uses to punish us for our disobedience. That's
right.
Just how it is. You can't change that. Read on.
But the just shall live by his faith.
So the just, meaning those that come back and return to the laws, shall live by our faith. We have faith that the Most High created his son, Jesus the Christ, to come bear the iniquity of his people, Israel. That's our faith, is that we keep the laws and the faith of Christ, and that we will obtain the salvation that we also earnestly, desperately covet after. Because if not, then why are we all here, right?
Right.
If not, then go sin willfully and YOLO and get the same death anyways. Let's go to Genesis 27, verse 38. Again, we're just building up some attributes that this man has, some of the characteristics that he has to be able to fight this spiritual warfare that we're fighting in. It's not a physical warfare, because, listen, we say all the time, right? You hear the bishops say, the deacons, us captains, officers, soldiers, everybody. We all know that we can't pick up arms and fight against this man.
No.
Bishop says it all the time. All this man got to do is cut off the water. You're done. You are done. If you have no water supply, what are you going to do?
That's it.
You are done.
Like, what are you going to do against a tank? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do against a helicopter or a plane?
Coronavirus.
Right, exactly. What are you going to do against biological warfare, against warfare where they could just put a virus or a disease out like that and wipe out mass? And it's nothing new under the sun. They were doing the same thing when they put smallpox on blankets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the same exact thing. What are you going to do against that? You can't do nothing but trust in the Lord and return it to him. Read that.
This is the book of Genesis, chapter 27 and verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing? My father, bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept.
So now Esau was a twin brother of our forefather Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, the progenitor of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. His twin brother Esau didn't get his blessing that he was supposed to receive as the firstborn, because that's how the Lord prophesied it from the very beginning. All
right.
So all the people were like, "Oh, well, that's not right that Jacob got it." No, it's right because God said it.
All right.
So Esau was like, "Wait, hold on, fam. One blessing, what about me?" And he lifted up his voice and he wept, because he understood, damn, my little brother just got the blessing of everything that was promised. Because you don't think that Esau understood what he gave up? Of course he did, and he wept.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that he lost that ticket to immortality and that it was now given to the 12 tribes of Israel. Listen, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. As much as I want to say about my uncles and father and everything else, right, as imperfect as they were, or as much as they didn't raise me a certain way, I thank the Lord that my father is an Israelite, because
right.
I'm an Israelite because of him. And that's that trickle-down effect. But he lifted up his voice, and he wept. Read on.
Verse 39, "And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fat of the earth,
read,
and of the dew of heaven from above."
So Isaac said, "Nah, don't worry, Esau. You're going to get a blessing too. But your blessing is going to be you're going to dwell in the fatness of the earth." So every single where the ado of heaven is, which literally is every single where, you're going to have the best of everything.
Right.
I remember the first time I went to Dubai, right? I was in Dubai. We get off the bus, and then we're going to go into this shopping mall they have there. By the way, the shopping mall is ridiculous, bro. They have, like, indoor ski resort and everything else. It took us, like, 3 days to walk around this mall. It was so big and so grand.
Wow.
Anyways, me and my buddy, we get off the thing. My buddy's a African-American, right, from somewhere in North Carolina, right, small town. So we get off the bus, and the first thing he says is, "Hey, white people." Because his thought process is, here we are in what they call the Middle East, right, or
right.
Africa, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But still, he's thinking, like, damn, we're in this country that's supposed to be full of Arabs.
He Arabic looks for
people.
Turbans.
Right, he's, exactly. He's looking for camels and turbans, and he's seeing
eat them.
But that's because of this right here. They will be in the fatness of the earth. They were, man, I've been all over the world, all praise the Most High. And back then in my ignorance, it was just, okay, I'm traveling, I'm partying. But now when I look back and see things spiritually, bro, Thailand, Singapore, Australia, obviously, but different parts of Asia, different parts of Europe, different parts of Central South America, they're all there. They're there. They're everywhere, enjoying the fatness of the earth.
Yeah, enjoying the best of the best
right.
of the country.
Because that's their blessing. It's
that
the same
is.
Thing here today. They enjoy the fatness today, but they got it off of what we're going to read now. Read verse 40.
Verse 40. "And by thy sword shalt thou live."
That's how they got everything. It's through the art of war. That was his blessing. You'll get all these things, but it's not going to be given to you freely.
Right.
The same way that the kingdom of heaven was given to the Israelites freely, and we lost it, and now we have to work for it. That was Esau's blessing. You're going to have all these things, but it ain't going to give them to you just willingly. You got to work for that thing, and you'll get it through the art of war. War, that's how you're going to get it, and that's what he does. But now it's not just physical war. Now it's a spiritual war. It's spiritual wickedness in high places against our people in these last days.
That's it.
Give me the book of Obadiah, and verse 5. Let's get another characteristic of this man for us to identify who he is.
This is the book of Obadiah, verse 5.
One of my favorite books of the Bible. And if it's not one of yours, then check your spirit. If it's not one of yours, check your genealogy, all right? Because this might be pertaining to you if you're like, "Oh, I hate that book." I highlight it, but with my black highlighter. Obadiah, verse 5. So this is another attribute or characteristic that the Lord put into this man when he made him not upright. Read that.
"If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night."
So if thieves came to thee, if robbers by night. So now the prophet Obadiah is setting up something here. He's letting us know your common, average, everyday thief, if he came to you as a robber by night, read.
"How art thou cut off?"
a regular thief would come to you, and then he would just steal until he had enough, right? Because he would have that sense of urgency. Hey, listen, this person might come home. Let me get in and let me get out,
right?
But this man, Esau, he's built differently. Read.
Would they not have stolen till they had enough?
They should just take what they can and get out of there before they get caught. But this man, read.
If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes?
So it says a typical thief would take what he can, and that's it. But this man, he don't take just the fruit from the tree. He takes the fruit, the leaves, the branches, right? The tree trunk, the roots, the soil. He takes every single thing. So when we read back in the prophecy of what his blessing would be, it was, listen, you're going to get all the stuff by war, but you've taken everything. That's why the earth has to be refreshed, because this man has stolen everything until there was no more left to steal. He's stolen everything from us. That's part of his characteristics. That's part of his attributes. That's why we can identify these things. Give me 1 Maccabees 1, verse 7. 1 Maccabees 1, verse 7. So the same thing that happened back in the Maccabees time, we're seeing it now. It's evident. It's happening today. 1 Maccabees 1, verse 7.
Book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, and verse 7. So Alexander reigned 12 years and then died.
So this Alexander is speaking of who the world calls Alexander the Great or Alexander the Greek. But this is the man that unified all the Edom nations together. He was the first king of Esau to be able to unify princes together. And they start conquering what back then was known as the known world. Every land that was back then, he conquered it. And he reigned 12 years. Read.
Verse 8, and his servants bear rule, every one in his place. And after his death, they all put crowns upon themselves.
So now after Alexander's death, his four generals took over. And then they put crowns upon themselves. And they split up all the landmasses that he had conquered. They said, okay, you take Egypt, you take Macedonia, so on and so forth. And that's how they did that thing. His four top generals took over in his stead. But read on, read.
So did their sons after them many years.
So did those four generals' sons, letting you know that it passed down from generation to generation to generation. The same thing today. The way right. Esau moves today, he don't listen. We think of things, what can affect us tomorrow? What can affect us next week? Because we're a real tangible people. We're a people that Christ said lacks faith. He's constantly getting on people that he walked with. People he walked with that saw him physically raise people from the dead. He's getting on them and saying, oh, ye of little faith.
Right.
Or he's walking with them and he tells them, when you're converted. So how much the more us in these last days that we don't have these signs and these wonders, are we now walking blind and in darkness? Because when Esau makes plans, he says, listen, how can my kids benefit off of this move?
Right.
All these vaccinations being pushed, that's gonna pump money into their bank accounts. It's not for them at this time. It's for their grandchildren to live off of. Lord's will, that doesn't manifest in Christ's returns. Right.
Well, that's the same thing they did with the plantations. You know what I mean? Like the Chase and right. Johnson Johnsons. They all started off with plantations, and look where they're at now.
You absolutely.
Major companies that their kids could thrive and live off of. So
the scripture says that every single one of them, their heart is deep,
right.
Meaning their heart is their mind. So when they come up with some kind of process to keep us down and to help push their agenda and to help fatten their pockets, again, it's not like you said. Chase Bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't start off as a bank.
No.
It manifested into something like that because of free slave labor, because of plantations and things like that. But they did it with the mindset, listen, this is 1750. By 2020, this is where we'll be.
Right.
That's how they think. We can't think past next week. Why? Because we live paycheck to paycheck. Okay, my check this week was this much. Okay, cool. We don't think past that.
Now, what you were saying is pretty deep, how you said that their hearts is deep. I don't know if you, because the way they think is like what Captain said, is longevity. And I don't know if you have the scripture, if you don't mind if I can pull a scripture up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Job 9:24. Do you have that scripture?
Nope.
So everything that they do is longevity. Everything they do is a plot, a plan on what's how we're going to keep these people down, how we're going to keep these people confused, because everything that's going on today is happening for one reason. It's to keep the children of Israel still asleep, keep them in sin. So go ahead.
This is the book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
The earth is given to the hand of the wicked. We just went over who the wicked. The wicked is Esau, read.
He covered the faces of the judges thereof.
He covered the faces of the judges of what?
Of the judges thereof.
Of thereof. They did this back then, but they still do this now. That's why when you open up your textbook, who's the Egyptians? Who are the Israelites?
Right.
It's them. When you sit there, and who is Christ? They changed Christ, which is known as a black man in the Bible, and they made him white. To confuse you so you can look at him like he's God. Oh, no. What they did to me in slavery is nothing.
Right.
All this is longevity.
That's part of the spiritual wickedness in high places, right? They condition this over a supposition of time. They don't put it out there openly, just right there for you to do it. But they desensitize us over, like you said, longevity, right?
Yeah.
Go back to 1 Maccabees 1
verse 9.
And read verse 9 again.
After his death, they all put crowns upon themselves. So did their sons after them many years.
For many years, Esau continued to reign for many years, read.
And evils were multiplied in the earth.
You see what the Bible says? When Esau came into power, it says that evils were multiplied in the earth. Not evil, but evils. Because the inward heart of this man is deep. His whole agenda is to be in opposition of God. Give me 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. His whole agenda, although his money may say in God we trust, his God is not the God of Israel, right? Because he serves his father, Satan. His God is guns, oil, and drugs.
That's right.
Anything that's tangible that could profit his pockets because he's covetous as hell. Not to exclude our people that are caught up in that foolishness, but we get that spirit following that after this man. Read that.
This is the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and verse 3. Let no man deceive you.
Let no man deceive you. Read.
By any means.
Don't let anyone deceive you, because at this time, they thought that Christ was going to be coming back at that time. And this was thousands of years ago, because the Most High operates time differently than we do as man sees time. He created time for us. He's older than time itself. But read on.
For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first.
Read.
And that man of sin be revealed. Like the son of perdition.
So the point I wanted in verse 3 was the man of sin be revealed and the son of perdition. Paul is letting the church of Thessalonica know, listen, don't be ignorant. Although you're hearing this rumor and that rumor, it's just like here in these last days, right? Oh, the year 2000. Oh, the year 2012. The Mayan calendar, it expires. Now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't so caught up in that foolishness, but I was old enough, obviously, to be able to understand certain things. And it was interesting. You know, like you watch a YouTube video, dang. That sounds about right. I was kind of into conspiracy theories until the reptilian people thing came out, and then that's when they lost me with that. I was like, I don't know about the whole reptilian people thing. I was like, let me follow this Bible in Black Christ. So it says the man of sin, the son of perdition, must be revealed. He's being revealed now. He's letting you know who he is by his craftiness, right? By his subtle plots, and we don't know that they're subtle unless we use the Bible to bring them out.
Right.
Otherwise, you just fall prey to all those things that he has set in front of you, all those snares, his religions, his politics, everything else. But read verse 4.
Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God.
So now, evils were multiplied in the earth when Esau came into power. His spirit is not upright with him. He got the gift to get the fatness of the earth by warfare. He took it by mass murder. By slaughter, by pushing his agendas. How is he able to do all these things? Because he opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God. Like the officer brought out, the earth is given to the hand of the wicked. So if the wicked is ruling the earth, obviously his agenda is going to be contrary to what the Bible says.
Right.
He pushes exactly what the Bible says against to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says he opposeth everything that God says. God says, don't eat pork. He says, no, that's the new white meat. God says, don't celebrate pagan holidays. He says, no, listen, these are the days for family and for kids and everything else. Listen, if you are a so-called Black, Hispanic, or Native American, especially if you're a Native American, and you got a turkey sitting on your table come next Thursday, mm-hmm. you are ignorant as hell.
Ignorant.
That's the celebration of the slaughter of your people. The turkey represents the body. The stuffing is the guts. The cranberry sauce is the blood that was spilled. There's so much that symbolism that goes into that. they would have a Thanksgiving feast every time they slaughtered a village. They called George Washington the village destroyer because he went from village to village and murdered our people. Well, it's just one day. You can get together as a family every day. Why does it have to be that one day?
Right. You got to think about it. That's like psychotic, like really psychotic. It's like, let's say somebody went into your house, murdered, raped, and destroyed everybody in your family. And then year by year, they go celebrate what they did to you. How would you feel about that?
Right. That'd be like me murdering your father, right?
Right.
And on that anniversary every year of that day, I call it, I say, hey, today is All Smiles Day. You can only smile and be happy today. You can never be upset. But you know that's the anniversary of when your father was brutally murdered. Right. And you got to walk around with a damn smile on your face. That, like you said, it's psychotic. Our people are insane. That's Stockholm Syndrome at its greatest form right there. Let's just forgive them because God says forgive, and let's just love them. Listen, I made the analogy on the Wednesday night show a couple weeks ago. I was like, that'd be like you're held hostage in a bank when someone's robbing it. And then when the cops come in to save you, that they come first to the people that have the guns and offer them the little hostage blankets and everything else to make sure that they're okay. You'd be like, what the hell is going on here?
Right.
Salvation don't come for the people that were robbing the bank. It's for the people that were held hostage. So when you partake in these things, you're partaking and you're sharing these things with the people that put you in those conditions. Let's go back to 1 Maccabees 1 and verse 56. Actually, read 1 verse 41 real quick. So now, he opposes everything that God pushes. That's how he's able to keep his agendas rolling in these last days. That's how he's able to keep us dumb and ignorant to who we are in these last days, by pushing what? Sin. Because they know something. Listen, they know when you read Judith 5, all you got to do is keep them in sin. And no one sins because they hate it. They sin because it feels good, right? Like how it says in Hebrews, Moses, rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, he instead chose the afflictions of his people, right? Mm-hmm. Sin is pleasurable. No one sins, oh, I hate this. It feels good to us. That's why we do it. So Esau searches out things to keep us in sin and say, okay, listen, they've been into idolatry since the very beginning. So all we got to do is push these little things out there and keep them in sin. Give them a little paycheck on Friday, and then they're going to be out Friday night breaking the Sabbath. Little small things like that. And they know that. They know those things. So now go back to 1 Maccabees 1, verse 41.
This is the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1 and verse 41.
We come to this chapter a lot because this particular chapter here in 1 Maccabees 1 is extremely heavy, and it's so vital for us to understand that Esau is still mimicking the same thing today. There's nothing new under the sun. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Right.
That's what we always hear. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So why would you fix something that has been working for thousands of years? It don't need no fixing. Just keep pushing it. You may have to tweak it here and there a little bit, but there's nothing new under the sun. Read.
Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.
So King Antiochus, he wrote to his kingdom that all should be one people. That's what you're seeing now today, right? They're trying to push this whole thing of one world religion. Now, whether or not that manifests into what they want it to be, we'll wait and see. But the point I want to make is we already have a one world religion. And that's being pushed by Esau. Right. Everything that Esau says do, all the other nations jump and do it.
That's it.
This man controls everything because he brought out the perfect scripture. The earth is given to the hand of the wicked. The wicked is one nation of people. And if these people want the liberties and things that come with those things, then they have to play ball. Otherwise, they get embargoes. There's no trade and traffic with them. Esau shuts that stuff down, right?
Right.
Read verse 42.
Verse 42. And everyone should leave his laws. So all the heathen agreed to the commandment of the king.
So he wanted everyone to leave his laws. Whichever laws you as a nation that was set up for you to follow, he said, listen, don't follow those things no more. Let's be one people. This is the start of democracy in the earth. Read on.
Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion.
So many of the Israelites also, same thing today, nothing new under the sun. Many of our people say, not to hell with that Bible, and then they follow white Jesus. They follow the different philosophies and everything. Or they'll say, I'm non-denominational, or I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. That thought process comes from somewhere. You didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm gonna now be this.
Right.
You were programmed through media, through television, through the internet, through whatever it was, to believe what you believe. It didn't come from nowhere. All right. The only person that was born with all wisdom was two people, Adam and Christ. That's it. You ain't Adam or Christ. So you didn't come to this revelation on your own. You know what? I'm going to be agnostic. I'm going to believe there's something, but not follow anything in particular. Hell no. You were programmed that way over a supposition of time.
Right.
And then through the illusion of freedom, you say, oh, I'm making the choice to be like this. Nah, Esau is like, hell no, you're making no choice. That's exactly how I want you to act. Black Lives Matter. Here, get out there. That's exactly how they want us to act. But jump down to verse 50 real quick. This is the whole point right here.
First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 50. And whosoever will not do according to the commandment of the king.
Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 49.
Verse 49. To the end, they might forget the law and change all the ordinances.
So that's the whole point of King Antiochus doing that then. And that's the whole point of the article we're about to read now. To the point that we would forget the law. And we forgot the law.
Yeah.
That's why it had to be reintroduced when they came out of Egypt. And Moses had to reintroduce the law. Okay. Moses didn't give the nation of Israel the laws. The laws have always been around. That's our heritage from the very beginning.
That's right.
But they had to be reintroduced. Same thing in these last days. 10 years ago, I don't know, it was a sin to eat pork.
Right.
And as much as I didn't subscribe to Christianity, I still knew, well, that's for that time. That's what I would say. Well, no, because Christ died, right? Christ died for our sins, so we can eat pork now. Ignorantly saying stuff like that, as much as I didn't follow Christianity. Well, no, Christ died, so we can eat shrimp now, right? What does Christ being brutally beaten to death have to do with it being okay to eat pork now? Just think about the ignorance of that. They push those things so you can forget the law and change all the ordinances. So they can forget the law and change the things that God established that was perfect. If something's perfect, then what's the point of changing it? It doesn't need to be changed. The law was perfect converting the soul. But they said, nah, we have to change these things to keep them dumbed down and in sin. This is the spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the fight that we're up against in these last days. And those that don't have an ear to hear or eyes to see, they look at this and they mock and they make fun, or they say things like, oh, you're in a cult. You're in a cult. Oh, you're weird now. I heard it so much, it would always be like, was it the war? Was it the war? Because I went to Iraq twice, right? Was it the war? And I'm like, listen, I've been back from Iraq for 3 years. You think it took 3 years for me to be like, oh, bing, oh, now I'm crazy. Come on, just think about that. You think it took me 3 years to realize, dang, I'm crazy now? No. Something as simple as, hey, brother, what's your nationality? That's what changed my life for everything. That's the seed the Most High planted in me. But they want us to forget the laws and the ordinances. Jump down to verse 56. So now this is one of the laws that they established at that time that we're about to read about right now.
Verse 56, and when they had rent in pieces the books of the law which they found, they burnt them with fire.
So one of the things that they did, they took our Bibles and they burned them with fire. They said, we have to get rid of these books. Because if they have these things, then guess what? They're going to read them. Why do you think they didn't let us read in slavery?
Right.
They said, listen, we have to destroy these things. That way they don't have the opportunity to learn from them. That's why they made an example of anybody that would oppose those laws that they set up, public examples of them, so to put the fear on the people.
Not just that, Captain. They refrain from the preachers, the ones who used to read the Bible, the black ones,
mm-hmm.
the brothers. They told them if they ever read Exodus or Deuteronomy, they will be put to death.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Exodus or, yeah.
Exodus or Deuteronomy.
Things that talk about the uplifting and the freedom of our people, basically.
Right.
They said, no, just read. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. Right. Just read that. And John 3:16. Listen, if they can subvert the scripture that says slaves, obey your earthly masters to mean what they want it to mean, then common sense would be that they can change what John 3:16 means.
Right.
And they can change any other scripture to mean what they want it to mean to fit their agenda. But all praises, the Bible says there's no scripture of private interpretation.
Right.
It means what it means when you read it the way it's supposed to be read. And when you keep the commandments of God. So verse 56, it says, and they rent in pieces the books of the law, which they found, and burnt them with fire. So one of the things that they were pushing during that time was that they wanted to destroy our records. Destroy these books, make it a law where when you find these things, you kill them for reading those things, and you burn these things. Why? so they don't get passed down to their children and to the generations to follow. We need to erase their memory that these laws even exist. And people say, oh, well, that's not going to happen today, right? Well, can you pull that up, soldier? Put that onto the screen. This is from November 8th. November 8th. This is a news publication called The Times, all right? They give you little snippets of things, but in order to get the full articles, you got to subscribe to it. So it's not some fly-by-night thing, right? It's an actual publication that's credible. There you go, shrink a little bit. Now, whether or not this comes to fruition, we don't know, right? But the scripture says to be prepared for the battle, right? We have to hope for the worst, or hope for the best, but look for the worst, right? We can't be ignorant to anything. So now, this was in the UK, right? And we know the UK is part of that seven heads, right? Part of the European Union. Everything that pushes their agendas in the earth, this is from that. It says, Bibles and newspapers would be banned under new hate crime law. So again, remember, there's nothing new under the sun. The same way that they wanted to get rid of our records back then is the same way they want to do it now. It says, Bibles and newspapers would be seized and destroyed under the new plan to criminalize inflammatory publications. Religious and secular organizations have warned. I'm reading it again. Books, Bibles, and newspapers would be seized and destroyed. Read that, verse 56 again.
Verse 56. And when they had rent in pieces the books of the law which they found, they burnt them with fire.
So they seized them and they destroyed them at that time. There's nothing new under the sun. They want to seize and destroy them there here at this time. They want to destroy our records. They want us to read, to do what we just read in verse 49. To do what? Forget the law and change the ordinances. I'm going to read on in this article. It says, an unlikely alliance of chapels, kirks, and gardeners, humanists, secularists, artists, writers, and journalists have united in condemnation of Scottish government's hate crime bill. So now, people don't want this thing to pass because then it goes against their agenda, right? But we know that evils will be multiplied in the earth, right? So anything that helps push sin, that's what the spiritual wickedness in high places, those that are the princes of darkness of this world, that's what they want to push. So now, there could be pushback from these people that believe in white Jesus and say, oh, no, well, we just believe in white Jesus, and white Jesus says to not be a homosexual. They don't give a damn. Whatever helps their agenda further for generations to come, that's what's going to push. It says, only Muslim engagement and development in Islamic rights lobby group and the Scottish Council of Jewish Communities argued that the bill did not go far enough in the latest round of scrutiny by Holyrood's Justice Committee. Get the next one. The next page. It says, that's the one.
It's the same one.
Yes, the same one. The next page, it starts with, the bill was drafted with empower. While we wait for you to pull up my reading, right? It says, the bill as drafted would empower police to seize forfeited material to be disposed of in such manner as the court may direct. You see that? So, again, this is over in Europe, mm-hmm. but the way Europe moves, it influences everywhere else because they follow the same agendas here. So now people are going to say, well, that's Europe. That's in America. Listen, it's the same man that does all these things.
Right.
They're trying to do the same thing here in California. It's the same exact thing. But there was no real literature on it. It was just kind of what people were saying should and shouldn't happen versus a bill actually being passed. And again, this media publication is outside of the U.S. because they want to keep us in a bubble here.
Right.
Right? They want us to only watch Fox News and different things that keep us dumbed down and stupid. So you got to go to outside sources from other countries to see what's happening in the world. And these are real bills being passed to say, you know what? Get rid of that literature that promotes hate crimes. How is it a hate crime to promote what the scripture says? If God says that you should be a certain way or should not be a certain way, that's not a hate crime.
But it wasn't a hate crime when they're using against us in slavery.
Exactly. Anything to push their agenda.
Exactly.
Anything. It says, as the bill was drafted, would empower police to seize forfeited material to be disposed in such a manner. as the court may direct. The National Secular Society said in a submission to the committee before parliamentary scrutiny tomorrow that a draconian and ultimately counterproductive bill had dangerously low thresholds for persecution. There's one point that I really wanted. You see, I'll keep reading. It says, extending its defense of free expression to religious leaders who regard same-sex relationships abominable, which it does because that's what the Bible says. It says that a man shall not lie with mankind. That is an abomination. So these different people that have different chapels and things like that, it says that they believe the same thing. Same-sex marriage is wrong, right? But it says, and punishable by death, the society said. Now, we don't promote death to those things. Now, when Christ returns and you're caught in those acts, or you haven't repented from those sins as an Israelite and kept the commandments of God, then yes, you will be put to death. But now you have space to repent. Christ died for anything to be forgiven except for blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. It says, while we condemn any organization, religious or secular, that uses such hateful language about LGBT people, we do not believe the correct response is to criminalize such speech. So they're saying, now listen, don't say those hurtful things about them or hateful things, but you shouldn't be penalized for saying them if that's what you believe. Basically, this group is saying we have something called what? Freedom of speech.
Right.
But there's no such thing as freedom of speech when it comes to our people. Right. That's why they start to do what? They start to flag our stuff. Right. They start to sensitize us, everything else. This is all part of that agenda. So you can't say certain things. Get the next page where it says the network. It says, the network of Sheikh organizations said the law would be weaponized by offense archaeologists digging through published material to have it censored. I'm going to read that again in case it went over your head. It says that the law would be weaponized by offense archaeologists digging through published material to have it censored. So what they're going to do is basically go back, right, and look at things that are in the history. Like how Bishop said, we need to start saving all the YouTube videos.
Right.
They're going to go back and say, bing, that's hate speech. Bing, that's hate speech. Take all that down. You're about to see hundreds and thousands of videos be removed because now it's going to be pegged as hate speech.
Right.
They're going to go through, it says archaeologists digging through published material to have it censored. It's published now, but it won't be published no more. So you know how people come in brand new and they say, hey, brother, how long have you been watching for? And they say, I've been watching for 6 months. How did you hear about the truth, brother? I heard it on YouTube. Basically, this is saying that won't be happening no more.
Right.
No more will people be afforded the opportunity to wake up to this truth via the internet. That's what that's saying right there.
So basically, they realize that their own devices that they set up is being used against them.
That's basically Job 5 right there. Exactly. All the stuff they have set up against us is going to be flipped on them. They said, damn. As much as we created this to profit us, to be able to monitor them and everything else, they're using it for good because all things work together for good for those that love God. So we thought for this thing to be evil, but damn, people are all really waking up to this thing. That's why for years here in Phoenix, when it was slow on the social media team, when it was slow with people putting out videos, I was like, man, what do you not see in how great this work is that you're doing? A video that you edit can wake up someone over and over in a different country and change that person's life and get them to the kingdom. And you had a hand in that. Books would be written about you in that. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Because you're tired? I worked 45 hours a week instead of 40. So that extra 5 cut into me having to edit a video. To hell with that. But that's what it's saying is that everything we have public is going to eventually come off. And it takes doing what? Us hitting the streets. That's the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the spiritual warfare that we are actually against right now. I'm going to jump down to where it says, actually, I'm going to read on. It says, it said that J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter author who has voiced concerns about allowing trans women into female changing rooms, would face proceedings for her position on transgenderism. So now J.K. Rowling, the person that wrote Harry Potter, she's very vocal about same-sex or different-sex restrooms being shared, basically is what she's saying. That's a concern, and it's a valid concern. I don't want a grown man going into the women's restroom where my daughter's using the restroom.
Right.
That's out of order, and that makes no sense on any level. Any person with a rational mind can see that that's nothing but opening up a can of worms for pedophilia, for rape, for all kinds of things.
Exactly. Bruce Jenner has not got the full change because he still loves women.
Mm-hmm.
He's considered a transgender woman, but he still he's still a man. He still has that part, and he still loves women. So imagine that man going into your changing room.
There's no way. There's no way. It says, now this is a point that I want to hear. Listen to this. Scottish Pen, a writer's collective, said that sensitive subjects would disappear from literature through self-censorship, right? So basically they're going to train people to take out certain things they put inside their text, right? Mm-hmm. Don't write that. Write this. Don't write this. Write that, right?
Right.
Kind of how writers now, they have to go to their publications. They say, yeah, take that out. They have to change certain things, their verbiage, how they say things, right? They basically got to do what Paul did and write in parables, right? Like we got to be real wise with how we deliver the gospel on media outlets. So it says, through self-censorship. So basically saying, listen, play ball. Otherwise, we're going to shut you down completely, right? It says, if writers feel their work and communication is being monitored by the state, writers would be held accountable for how their work is interpreted or misinterpreted by others, and could face 7 years in prison. You see that? So I could write something, and if you say, no, this is how I think that says it, then I can face 7 years in prison. Mm. So basically, if we teach us about women dressing modestly, right? Women wear dresses because that's what the Bible says. Mm. Have your hair head covered when the Bible comes out, because that's a law that God said for women to do, right? Something as simple as that. If a woman, it were to misinterpret that as a hate speech, because now we're you're calling us hoes and we're showing off our body parts and this like that, then it's jail time that you could face. Now, it won't be that extreme initially, obviously, but it can get to that point very, very quickly.
Right.
They're putting it out there to get our people conditioned to basically self-censor. We're giving you an opportunity to not teach the way that the Bible says to teach.
Right.
That's why now we're starting to do what? Go out in twos. They're pushing that heavy. We got to go and hit the street in twos. We had to, that way we can cover more ground, because we won't be able to have this social media thing for very long. Because like you said, they're going to see, dang, this juggernaut that we created that made so much money is going to basically interrupt our cash flow, because people are waking up everywhere.
Right.
Go to the next one. It's actually the last one. It's the last one. Yep, the very last one. It says, it said in its submission, the right of a warrant to be issued to enter a premise and remove inflammatory material and ultimately destroy it is deeply worrying, could lead to certain books and publications essentially being banned. As books are confiscated and destroyed, precedents would develop that would amount to a list of banned books. And as Christians, we are deeply concerned that the Bible could fall foul of this offense. So this bill could pass to where warrants are now issued to go into establishments and take out those books and confiscate them.
You know, Esau got a movie on this, right?
No.
Fahrenheit 49 with Michael B. Jordan, when they was destroying all books and burning them all.
You know what? I actually haven't seen that, but I actually heard it was good.
Yeah,
I heard it was good.
They was arresting you. They would come in your place and be like, oh, you got books, and they'd burn it all up.
Now, Bishop did a class called Hollywood Knows the Truth. So
right.
Hollywood knows the truth.
Right.
They know they did that back then, and they know that that's the agenda that they want to push now. Imagine that. Now, we ain't in a Christian church, but for those that are ignorant, that are in a Christian church, you're sitting there, or us even in here that know the truth, someone could get a warrant. Because, you know, this is a target against the Israelites. Like you said, everything they do is to keep us down.
Right.
This is a direct attack against the Israelites, because we're the only one teaching the truth. That means that we could be here on the Sabbath, fellowshipping like how we're commanded, and people could come in and confiscate our Bibles.
Right.
Because I'm going to let you know, Esau is not going to do this to Esau. They're not going to sit there and pick out, oh, that white man's reading the Bible. He's up to no good. No, they're not going to do that to him. They're going to go strictly to the Israelites.
Now to confuse the masses of our people, then, like, go do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, not the higher upper echelon of people that make the money off you, but the, like, little trailer park trash things that you see here.
Right.
That's what we call
collateral damage.
There you go. There you go. That's all that is. It's against our people, the illusion of, okay, they're also being punished. So it's not just against us, because we's free now. Right. So that's all I wanted on that. Right. So read verse 56 again in 1 Maccabees.
1 Maccabees chapter 1 and verse 56. And when they had rent in pieces the books of the law which they found, they burnt them with fire.
So there's nothing new under the sun. The same way they had that agenda back then, is the same thing they want to do to us today in these last days. But now we live in a society now where we're striving for perfection, but you're being uplifted and you're being counted as better and esteemed to be imperfect. It's you're being rewarded by saying, oh, you're so brave. My whole life, I lived as Bruce Jenner, but in the inside, I feel like my name's Caitlin.
Sure.
Oh, you're so brave for saying that. You're being esteemed and put on this pedestal now to push this agenda, this sin of the earth. And when you read it in Isaiah, it says if it wasn't for our remnants, we all would be homosexuals. Every single last one of us would be sodomized. That's what the Bible says. So that's the number one agenda they want to push is homosexuality. Because they know how heavy that spirit is. They know how heavy that spirit is. Because we all would have been like that. They don't say, if it wasn't for a remnant, they all would have been covetous over money.
Right.
If it wasn't for that spirit, they all would have smoked Newports. They don't say that. It does not say that. It says that we all would have been sodomites. Because they know that's the number one heaviest spirit on our people.
Right. Like you said, it's not new under the sun. This is Sodom.
Nothing new under the sun, bro.
Sodom.
Let's get Romans 11 and verse 1. But on the flip side, there's nothing new under the sun. Esau pushing these agendas. There's nothing new under the sun for the Most High to stand up and fight for his people.
That's right.
Actually, you know what? Give me Psalms 10 and verse 10. Before we read that, Psalms 10. Let me make sure it's verse 10 I want, because I want to start a little higher, but for time purposes, we'll get verse 10. Psalms 10. Now, read verse 9.
It's the book of Psalms, chapter 10 and verse 9. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den.
The he here is talking about the wicked. It's talking about the nation of Esau. It says that he then waits secretly like a lion in a den. He secretly casts these different snares for our people to fall into. It's not outwardly. The Bible says, hey, don't marvel, because even Satan himself came as what?
An angel of light.
Exactly. So he came in a way that was going to be appealing to our people. Right? No one does this. Who is it? It's sin. No. Flee from me, Satan. It doesn't come like that. It comes in real subtle ways. It comes secretly. Read on.
He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net.
We're the poor, and he catches us in the net with his philosophies, his politics, his doctrines, right? He turns everything that God says is good into evil and vice versa. That's what he does. That's the net. This is one of the nets. That he's doing nothing new under the sun and trying to get rid of our record books. Read verse 10.
Verse 10. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong one.
It says he humbleth himself. Kind of like how it says his words were smoother than butters, but war was in his heart. Spiritual warfare is constantly on this man's mind because he knows who we are. He knows who he is. He's trying to prolong his kingdom, but every kingdom as an expiration date, save that of the kingdom of the Israelites.
That's right.
Christ's kingdom is the only one that will last forever. Read on.
Verse 11. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten, and he hideth his face. He will never see it.
It says, he said in his heart, God hath forgotten. Romans 11, verse 1. That's what he says. He says, God has forgotten because of all these things that God is allowing to be done in the earth, all the atrocities, all the murder, all the things that have happened to us as a people that we, even us ourselves, say, God can't be for us.
Right.
There's no way God is for us when you look at the conditions of our people. There's no way. So this man even says, damn, God's forgotten. This people has been cast off. He's forgotten, and no one sees what I'm doing to this people. Read.
This is the book of Romans, chapter 11 and verse 1. I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid.
So Paul's saying, did God cast away his people? God forbid. So has God forgotten the Israelites? Hell no. There is a God in Israel. But he said, I will go and return to my place until you acknowledge your offense. And that's what we're doing now. We're acknowledging who we are, and we're standing up boldly in the streets and teaching our people, this is the way, walk ye in it. Read on.
For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham.
Read.
Of the tribe of Benjamin.
Jump down to verse 4.
Verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
So just like during the time of Elijah, when he thought all the prophets had been killed and he was by himself, God said, nah, listen, I reserved to myself 7,000. There's 7,000 out there just like you that are willing to stand and fight for this, what this gospel really is, for what this truth really is. So as much as they want to ban the Bible and get rid of all these things, the Lord has a remnant preserved that's going to stand up and fight for this truth.
That's right.
And that's what you see now. That's what you see manifesting through the four corners of the earth. You can't stop it.
That's right.
You can't stop what God ordained from the beginning. You can only hope to contain it. And that's what their faith is, that they can prolong their kingdom. But our faith is in Christ. And our Lord and Savior, our King, will return. He will. It's just for up to us to play the position perfectly like we were told from the very beginning. Give me 2 Ezra 14 and verse 42. So the same way that they destroyed our books back then is the same way they're going to try to do it now. But let's see what they did back then. Read.
This is the book in 2 Ezra chapter 14 and verse 42. The highest gave understanding unto the five men.
So now, same thing back then, during Ezra's time. They were trying to get rid of our records. They destroyed everything. So now, these five brothers got understanding from the Most High. Read.
And they wrote the wonderful visions of the night that were told, which they knew not. And they set 40 days, and they wrote in the day, and at night they ate bread.
So these five brothers sat down, and then they wrote the things that were contained in the Bible. Read on.
As for me, I spake in the day, and I held not my tongue by night.
Read.
In 40 days, they wrote 204 books.
So basically, Ezra, the Spirit came on Ezra to be able to prophesy and recite the entire Bible to these brothers, to be able to do what? To restore our records, because there is a God in Israel. You can't destroy what God ordained to be perfect, right? That's why those of us that are in this fight, listen, study, pray, apply.
That's it.
Blessed is he that reads is not just a suggestion. That's a commandment, because there's going to come a time when they say, listen, you can't read those books. So in order to know where you got to obtain salvation, you must be studying right now. If that day comes tomorrow, are you ready? Do you know how to keep the commandments that pertain to your salvation? Or are you just okay and comfortable with, well, I come every Saturday, and this is how this person tells me to do it. If you only open your Bible on Saturdays, listen, you are not in the truth. You are not in the truth. You got to be studying and absorbing these things every day. This is spiritual warfare, spiritual wickedness in high places. So the same way that the Lord preserved the books back then, he's going to find a way to preserve the books now. And that's how he's preserving it, through us, by us being that walking example that Christ has set before us. Give me Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12.
This is the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those that have the power to be able to push their agenda in the earth through sin, through philosophies, through passing laws. As much as we think your vote matters, your vote don't matter. Listen, politicians are not elected. They're selected. And it's not for the betterment of our people. It's for their own people. Read on.
Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
It's a spiritual warfare against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's not the people that you see, which are the puppets, those that you see in president seats, in prime minister seats. Those are just the people that are the mouthpiece for those that are behind the scenes that are pushing the much bigger agenda. The Bible calls them the Chaldeans. That's the people that have the power behind the scenes that push everything, that influences the entire earth. Read on.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
We are fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. Right. This article was just a small example of what could manifest through that spiritual wickedness in high places against that spiritual warfare. There's another article that I wanted to bring out that said a law is going to be passed that basically states that hospitals or medical facilities, whatever the case may be, can administer vaccines without parents' consent.
You saw that?
Yeah,
insane, bro.
That's crazy.
They can now administer the vaccine for COVID-19 or whatever vaccine that they want out there to your child without your consent.
So you're saying that they have the right to poison my child?
Pretty much. That's spiritual wickedness in high place. That's another form of that. That's the spiritual warfare. All we got to do, listen, is what the Bible says. Gird up your loins, right? Gird up your loins. This is a fight. Come get in the fight. Not just the men, but the sisters too. You have a vital role to play in the re- building of the nation of Israel. So with that, that's the show this week. I pray there that there was some edification. Join us next week. Also, starting very soon, we'll be here on Wednesday nights as well for 2 hours on IUSC in the classrooms, all right, myself and the other captains. Lord willing, last. That's going to start very soon. Share, like, support, all right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Lego.
Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running scared because Israel is back.
All
wow. Lies on us because we keeping them laws. When the Lord returns, Babylon will fall.
We got them on lock.
We got them on lock. God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You hear the good today for all with to crack.
Yeah, you got to check out that movie. It's a movie about that exact
thing. That's the movie, basically.